May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What I was going to share today for CTKers, I'll share tonight. But as I was listening to that song that Luke was playing beforehand, it's just an amazing song. It's about Revelation chapter 1. First, I guess the guy who wrote it was John Thurlow. I don't know if that was him or not. It was an IHOP, one of the IHOP worship leaders. And what we've been talking about a lot, and we're going to forever be talking about, is this thing that we're after in our own experience, and that is the fullness of Christ being realized and experienced in us and released through us. And we so much talk about that in the context of faith. But you really can't separate that reality either from the love of God. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, I'll read this to you. And when we were singing that song, worshiping, I just was blown away again about just the insight of the love of Christ in Revelation chapter 1. But it says this. This is Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you as a gift of grace, according to the riches of his glory, which is pretty vast, to be strengthened with supernatural power through his Holy Spirit in your inner man, so that you'll experience Christ himself settling down and being at home and living in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to experientially know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And so you can't separate the experience of Christ living his life in fullness in you and through you without some comprehension, growing comprehension, of the love of God for us. He said that you might be filled up with the fullness of God as we comprehend what's incomprehensible, how much he loves us. There's a place in Romans chapter 5, it says, a hope doesn't disappoint, for the love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I love that passage of Scripture because the reality is, it's that love of Christ, his love for me, that pulls us. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul said, it's the love of Jesus that compels me, that pulls me, that pushes me, that drives me, that takes me. And that's true for all of us. It's at what various degrees. Your pursuit of Christ, your hunger for Christ, your frustration over your own brokenness and your fallenness, and when you fail, all that that wants you to get up again and seek him, to go farther, to go deeper, to be free. All that's because the love of Christ has been shed abroad in your hearts. All that's because the love of Jesus that is pulling at you, compelling you to seek him, to love him back. All those holy desires come from him. And the love that's been spread out in your heart. It's working in us, right? Working in us to pursue him. We love him because he what? First loves us. And I think about that scripture in Revelation chapter 1, some of the descriptions of Jesus. One of the things it says about him is that his feet are like bronze, but the word there is kind of like in Ezekiel chapter 1, where it's like bronze that just came out of a furnace. And so they're like burning feet. They're bronze feet, but they're feet that are on fire, which says things to me about how he pursues you in love for us. It's not the bronze of judgment. It's not the fire of judgment. It's the fire of Song of Solomon, chapter 8, that his love is like a vehement flame that rivers can't put out, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that love of Christ that's been shed abroad in that heart, in our hearts, even if we're just young in the Lord, what little bit we know about that, there's just somebody, something that cares more about us than we care about ourselves, that longs for us more than we long for anything else in this world, that's just in pursuit of us, in hot pursuit of us. The fact that he has eyes of fire, that when he gazes at us, he gazes at us with a lovesick heart. even in our imperfections, even in our weaknesses, even in our immaturities, his love for us is like a burning fire. His eyes are like that. But one of my favorite things is like his hair is like wool, white as wool. Because when you see those images of Jesus in Revelation, it sees him as sort of perpetually youthful. You know, like a man who died in his 30s who forever stays in his 30s. Song of Solomon, one of the places said his hair is like clusters of grapes. Like there's this perpetual youthfulness, this perpetual energy, this one who carries perpetual passion. But the revelation of Jesus in Revelation 1 is that he has hair like wool, which says things to us about his love for us as a mature love. It has antiquity to it. Micah chapter 5, verse 17 says that he delights in unending love. And I don't know about you, but how many times I found myself just disgusted with myself, disappointed with myself, frustrated with myself, because again, you know what I'm saying? And what helps me to get up and pursue is that love that's been shed abroad in my heart. This love, the one who has these like tennis shoes that are like bronze fire that's pursuing me. Can't you see that at the cross? Can't you see that God would step out of heaven into time and go through all that he went through because he had feet on fire coming after you, racing after you, and he never stops pursuing us that way? Because his eyes are like fire when he sees us. We're his beauty, the scripture says. We're his crown. Do you know that? That we are his diadem. He wears us like a crown of beauty, Isaiah 62. Do you understand that? The diadem is the victory crown, and his pursuit and conquering your heart for him is the great diadem that Jesus wears forever. It's his crown of beauty, the scripture says. It first looked like a crown of thorns because that's how far he was willing to go in his hot pursuit of us with those eyes of fire. But then it becomes this diadem of victory. But see, here's the deal. That hair, like white as wool, says to me, ministers to me, that he knows everything about me. He knew everything about me before I ever said yes to him. He knows everything about me coming up. He knows it all. He loves me with a mature love. He's not like what we do to others. That's why 1 John says in chapter 3, oh, what foreign love is this? Nobody's ever loved me like this before. When I've disappointed and hurt others, they've pouted or drawn back or rejected at some level, expressed their disappointment in feelings that made me feel condemned, like I didn't have value and worth. You see, he loves, even with that great passion, with a great maturity. It's a never-ending love. It's never going to stop. There's nothing you can do to make him stop loving you. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. And he understands everything about you. He knows all the secrets in your heart that you've not ever revealed to anybody. He knows all those immature, unmatured, unsanctified, in the process of being sanctified, motives and thoughts. And yet he loves you with maturity. There's a steadiness there. There's a stability there. There's something about an ancient soul that loves you with great passion. That's the love of Christ that compels us. That's the love of Christ that's been shed and abroad in our hearts. That's why it says hope doesn't disappoint. That's why I'm always filled with hope. No matter what goes on, no matter what happens around me that I can't understand, there's some things that happen I can't understand. I can't explain them to you theologically. He's tried to explain them to me. I don't get it. Can you do it another way? And in my own failures, there's always hope because there's one like him and whose voice, it says in that song, Revelation 1, are like the sounds of many waters. You know, in the scripture when it says, deep calls in the deep like the sounds of waterfalls. That's the word many waters. That his heart, his love is so amazing, so unending, so stable, so passionate, so ancient, so forever, that he's always, always calling us to deeper places in him. He just wants more. you're kidding me. I don't even want me sometimes. But he's always wanting more. That man with eyes of fire who's had burning feet running towards me, the sounds of many waters, he's always wanting more. Always wanting more. Always wanting more time with us. Always wanting to hear our voice more. Always wanting more of our hearts. Always calling us to deeper places, to the height and the depth and the length and the width of his love. Because that's the foundation from which all faith happens. Faith works through love. It gives us a solid place from which to believe, to experience fullness. Amen? And let me just tell you one of the remarkable things, and you may not understand it, and I don't understand it. I'm an archbishop. I'm supposed to teach it. That he would come to us in bread and wine, that he would so lower himself, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, would come to us in common, unholy, simple bread and wine to encounter us. No wonder the enemy's tried to steal that from us. Because we can see and encounter. You love me like this? Oh, yeah, of course you did. You were crucified. You were exposed. You humbled yourself. You know what Plato said? He was a lost pagan, a false prophet. But there was something in him, and he made this statement. He said, if there's really a God of love, he's going to show up in the streets without shoes, among the poor, sacrificing everything. Wow. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.